read verse 20 down through 24. We'll pray again and see what the good Lord's got for us today. Amen. So Mark chapter 9, verse number 20. Now we're breaking into the story here. It says, "And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he," that's Jesus, "asked his father, how long is it ago since this came upon him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." Now watch this, verse 24. "And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." What we like to do today is bring our sermon here real quickly on this thought of, I believe, but I still need help believing. Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do ask you, Lord, one more time here for your blessings upon this day. And we do pray, Lord, that you help me, please, to present the word the way you'd have me to. Hide me behind the cross, Father. And if there's anything that stands between me and you, we ask, Lord, you to take care of that so as we can get the message clearly across. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would not see me, but they would see Jesus, your precious Son, the Lamb of God, and what all he can do for us if we'll just turn to him. Thank you, God, that you've made yourself available to us, that you've told us to come to you, to come not even just come, but to come boldly unto that throne of grace that we may receive the help we need in our time of need. Thank you, God. Thank you. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we do ask you. Amen. Amen. All right. So, with this idea of the sermon thought of, I believe, but still I need help with my belief. When was the last time, if we would be honest with ourselves, that we've really gone to God and told him, not just pour out our complaints, but told him the depths of our heart. Told him exactly what it is that's causing us all of this pain, that is bringing all of this suffering into our very being. Now, I realize there'll be those who would say, but preacher, God knows everything. He knows what all is going on. Why do I need to tell him all over again? Well, it's very simply this, because when we tell God what's going on in our lives, and we just pour our hearts out to him that we are asking him for the help that we need, we're using our faith. And faith is the very currency of heaven. If we want to see anything get done in our lives, we have to operate by faith. Oh, there's some things that we can do with our own strength. We can do some things with our own intellect. But if we really want to see success in our lives, if we really want to go forward for the Lord, if we really want to see our lives living holy for the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got to do it by faith. You may say, preacher, well, the situation I'm in, you just don't know. You're right, I don't know. But I thank my Father in heaven, he knows all about it. I thank God that he's the one who can sit here and he can actually be the help that I need. But I'll be honest with you, don't tell him, okay, this is just between me and all of you here, okay? I have problems with my faith on occasion. I have problems where, at times where it's, how in the world? I don't get it. God, I need help. God, I'm discouraged. God, I'm defeated. God, I'm completely confused. I'm conflicted. I don't understand. Help, please. And all of a sudden, he just does something so simple. And it's like, where did that come from? Right out of left field. I would have never thought about something like that. He'll send a little bit of a blessing my way. And it's like, Lord, you blow my mind. Some little thing just suddenly turns around. And I'll have times where I'm sitting here, I'm in doubt. And I just don't understand, God, what's going on here. And a thought will come to my mind. It's like, there's just no way that does anything. Okay, let's all be honest. We've had those moments. And then it comes to pass. Almost exactly the same way that thought came to our mind. And where we dismissed it earlier, suddenly it's like, wow, that really does work. Well, I can't tell you how many times I've been there. But looking here at this man, at this father who's doing his best to help his child who is hurting so much, he has come to the realization that there's nothing anybody else can do. He's daddy, and daddy is supposed to be able to take care of his kid. Or if it's mama, like the Syrophoenician woman, she's mama, she's supposed to be able to take care of her children. But when we come to the end of ourselves, thank God there is Jesus. I want you to notice here a few things about this I believe but still need help with my belief. I want you to notice first of all that there was a search underway. He didn't just sit back and say, well, I'm going to wait for the answer to come to me. He went out looking for the answer. Verse number 18, and you know, it's back up to verse 17. And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. But I want you to notice here, the last part of the verse here, while he's got all these issues for his son there, he went to the Jesus. He was searching for Jesus, and he found the disciples. He asked them, hey, can you help me out here? You've got to remember, church, that this is a time in the life of the world where God had been silent for 400 years. 400 years from the time that Malachi laid his pen down until John the Baptist finally comes on the scene. And I'm sure this daddy here heard of John the Baptist and he wanted to go and find him. But he starts off looking. He can't go to John the Baptist. John the Baptist is in jail. He finds the disciples. Finds 9 of the 12, because the other 3 are there with Jesus already. And he goes, and he's looking, and he says, hey, you guys, you've got power to cast out demons. Can you help them? And I can't help but picture, every time I start thinking about this passage of Scripture, Judas Iscariot, getting his coat all straightened out. Don't worry, boys, I got this one. I'll take care of this. And he goes over, and he tries casting out that demon, he fails. The other apostles kind of laugh at him a little bit. Let's give a try. And one by one, they all give a try and they all fail. But then here comes Jesus. The search is over. He's made the effort to come to God. I want you to know, church, that when we get into trouble, when the pain is so unreal and unbearable, and the situation seems so out of control, if we will come to God, guess what? You're not going to have to go a billion miles to God. You start coming to Him, and He's going to come and meet you. And ain't even going to be going and meeting in the middle. You turn to Him, He will come to you. Here comes Jesus. He didn't have to go up the Mount of Transfiguration to find Jesus. Jesus was already coming down there to meet Him. Jesus was going to come and He was going to give Him the answers that He needed. Now sometimes the response from God can be yes, sometimes the response can be no, and sometimes the answer can be slow. Just because we pray to God, God, I need your help. I need it right now, doesn't mean it's going to come right now. Just because the bills are coming due, that cutoff notice is in the mail already. It's the third one. The next time that they send in a cutoff notice, they're cutting off the gas and the lights. They're going to move you out of the place, whatever the case is there. We've been praying to God as Lord. It's kind of past time. God says, hold on, my time, my way. And I will send the answer you need. It may not come the way we want it to. I can't tell you the number of times I've wanted God to do it one way. And instead He does it something else completely different there. But it's got to be done His way. The Bible says, ask, seek, and knock. If we will ask, it will be given to us. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. But it's a constantly knocking. It's constantly seeking. It's constantly asking. Because we're exercising that faith. We're building up our belief. We're sitting here thinking to ourselves, I need help with my belief. Lord, can you help me with my belief? And in the process, He's helping us build up our belief by simply doing things His way. I want you to notice that not only was the search underway, but there was a strain of the need. If we were to skip down to verse number 22, the Bible says, and oftentimes, this is the dad talking here, oftentimes it had cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Interesting that daddy has already took verse 17 and 18 and described what the Spirit is doing to his son. He has now answered Jesus' question about when did this first happen to him, verse 21, by saying of a child. And now verse 22, he describes it another way, but the same problem that's going on here is the son is demonically possessed. But yet as he closes out verse 22, he says, have compassion on us and help us. Daddy was hurting too. Daddy understood here, this is his child. His child that he needs help for. The Syrophoenician woman, when she comes to Jesus begging for Christ to help her out there, and Christ says, hey, it's not meat to give the bread that belongs to the children, just give it to the dogs. Her daughter was demonically possessed. Jesus tells her this and she replies, yea, but the dogs eat of the crumbs that fall from the master's table. She was exercising her faith. Why was she exercising her faith? Because she was hurting. It was her daughter that was demonically possessed there. Moms and daddies, aunts, uncles, grandparents, friends. Hurt when they see the young ones hurting, when they see their children hurting, their grandchildren hurting, their good friends hurting, their loved ones hurting, their neighbors hurting. It's a strain this need puts on us there. The strain that is affecting our belief, wanting to tear it away from us, wanting to convince us, just give up on God. He don't care. He's far away from here. He ain't going to do nothing for you. But in the process, God's saying, use your faith and come to me and I can help. See, that strain is the world trying to tear you away from God. Trying to convince you, you don't need God. When deep down we know we need God. That helpless feeling stinks. But He's the one who can't help. Verse 24, we see the soliciting for coverage. And straightway, that word straightway means immediately. Jesus just said in verse 23, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway, and immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears flowing, church, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. He's begging, he's soliciting Christ to come and help them out there. Yeah, it's hard to humble ourselves to ask for help. But we do what we have to for our loved ones. We do what we have to for ourselves at times too. Because we understand, I'm at the end of my rope, Lord. It's only you who can help me. And I'm asking you, please, would you help me? He wasn't about to let any pride get in his way. He wasn't about to say, well, you know what, my boy, he'll get better on his own. He'll grow out of it. He says, no, I'm acknowledging I am limited and I need extra grace at this time. I need extra mercy at this time. Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. And what happens, church? Jesus doesn't say, well, you know, I'm waiting on you to, you know, put a little extra in the offering plate. No, you don't do that. He don't sit there, well, I'm waiting on you to do some good deed and then I'll help you out. No, he didn't do that. He didn't say, well, I'm waiting for you to get right and sit on the front row of the church and say, amen, every time the preacher preaches and sing your heart out to me. He didn't do any of that. Bible says in verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, I command thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. I like that last part there. And enter no more into him. That word and tells us that there's something additional going on here. In other words, it was not going to be something that was implied, hey, demon, I'm charging you to get out of him. And of course, I'm expecting you not to go in there. No! I command you, come out of him and enter no more into him. You're out. You stay out. Because when we solicit Jesus for the help, when we tell him, I believe, but help my unbelief, it ain't strong enough. Jesus says, I'm going to do what you've asked, and I'm going to go a little bit further. You've asked for this, you know what, I'm going to make this arrangement here. Oh, you know what, that arrangement may not come a little bit further down the road than what we can see, but you know what? When I'm in my car driving at nighttime, my headlights only show so far in front of me. It doesn't change the fact that there's still something out there beyond the lights. This world is dark. This world has a dim view of everything. But if we'll just take and go with the light that Jesus gives, He's going to bring us to our destination. I want you to notice the situation changed, verse 26 and 27. And the Spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he's dead. Jesus, you failed. Look at the kid. The kid's lying there. He's dead. Oh, Jesus, you blew it. Jesus, you weren't good enough. Verse 27. But Jesus. I love when God butts in. I love when I'm in a situation and God says, hold on a second, let me step in and have my say so. Let me step in there and have my way. Let me step in there and take care of my child. But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up and he arose. Yeah, there was some pain. There'll be some pain in what we go through, the situations that we have to face. But I'm reminded, a few years back, I had to have surgery on my right foot. I broke it something fierce. It should have been like a half hour long surgery. It took them almost 2 hours. I had those bones jazzed up real bad. They had to go and make the incision. They pull on the bones every which way to finally pull them apart and arrange them correctly. Put a stainless steel plate in there. Put 7 screws into my foot to stabilize everything. And I'm thankful that I was not only asleep for the surgery, but that they had the painkillers in there. Because I'm a wimp when it comes to pain. I'll admit it. But the doctor had to cause pain by cutting into my foot and pulling on the bones to straighten them out in order to fix what was broken. And there'll be times when God's going to have to bring a little bit of pain into our lives to fix what we've broken. But if we let Him fix what is broken, we're going to find that He fixes what is broken. That the situation changes. When it says here, and he arose, that means that not only did he get up, but Jesus gave him back to his daddy. He restored the son. And that's what the gospel message is, church. It is fallen mankind. Each one of us who has been born into this world. The sin gene has been passed on to us from our earthly daddy into us as we are created in our mother's womb. We are sinners, broken, disfigured by sin in this world. And Jesus came and died upon the cross there to fix us, to help us to be able to have fellowship with God again, to be able to be saved so that one day we can go to heaven there. And not a single one of us was born ready to be saved. Oh, I'm so holy. No. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." The gift of God in that verse is faith. He'll give us the faith we need to ask Him to save us. And then once we ask Him to save us, He will then work on our faith to build us up, to make us into the Christians that He would have us be. Through the trials, through the troubles, He's still working on us. I've got one statement here for you this morning, and it's simply this. It's good to believe that He can. It's better to ask for His help, to let Him help us in our time of need. Have we asked Him for that help? Our most gracious Father in heaven, we do thank You, Lord, for all that You've done for us. We do pray, Lord, for Your blessings upon this day. And we ask You, Father, please, to help us to follow Your holy will. We pray, Father, if there's anyone here who does not know Jesus Christ and the free pardon of their sins, that they cannot honestly say, if I close my eyes in death right now, I'm not sure I'd go to heaven. I pray, Lord, that You'd help them, please, to see that there is a way to go to heaven. That way is solely through Jesus Christ, and that You will guide them every step of the way. We certainly would be more than happy to talk with anyone who needs to see exactly how it is they can be saved. Help us, Father, please, to be obedient to You. We love You, Lord. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen and amen.